The previous program, The Truth with Margaret Prescott, heard Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up at 4 p.m., followed by Max and Murphy at 5 p.m. 6 p.m. is the WBAI Evening News, and at 6:30 is Trump Watch with Jesse Lint. This is your listener-sponsored community radio station, and starting on Monday, we begin our winter fun drive here. As you know, we are solely listener-sponsored, which I have said twice already, now the third time, and we rely on you, the listeners, to support us so we can continue to do what we have been doing for now 59 years. That's right, we have been part of the Pacifica Radio Network since 1960, January 1960, and we have been a part of this network for 59 years, and we want to continue to do what we have been doing for so long, but only with your help. You can always call the pledge line, jump ahead of the game right now by calling 516-620-3602, or go to give to WBAI.org online, and you can also text to donate, texting WBAI to the number 41444. Some of the ways of donating to your favorite radio station, of course. WBAI happens to be that station. It is now 4 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Everybody, welcome back to Talk Back at the Positive Mind. I'm Kevin O'Donohue here with Ben Starr. Welcome back, Ben.
Hey.
Missed you last week.
Yeah, good to be back.
And Nasima Diane Deemer.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome all. Welcome to all of you. Listen, you liked our show last week on crying. You know, women cry probably three times more than men per month.
It's a good thing. It's cleansing. Keeps our eyes
bright. It's not good.
Bright.
I think we need to have a revolution. I think men deserve
Yes, men need to cry more.
Women cry 5.3 times estimated a month, and men 1.7 times per month. How about you, Ben? Did you cry last month?
I don't know how you define cry. I mean, are we talking about like holding my head in my hands and weeping and sobbing?
Because yeah.
it's been a long time.
Well, it's a
time.
Good. That, yeah. You missed the show, but you asked a really good question. There are definitely spectrum of crying.
Sure, yeah.
And I think like... men, we have a hard time with the actual tears, but we might be really feeling weepy and feeling like we want to, but we just can't get there. And that was one of the things we talked about.
So, it's definitely about how you define it. Because if we're talking about getting a little misty-eyed and a lump in my throat, that happens weekly. But if we're talking about, you know, sobbing, crying, tears flowing, it's a little more rare.
Yes, yeah. I know. And it's a shame. And... because there's nothing like a really good, deep, deep cry.
It's a release.
It's a great, great release. It releases hormones, and you know the chemicals in your tears release cortisol. The stress hormone cortisol is in your tears, whereas
so
if you
relaxing.
Get tears from dust or basal tears, they call them, there's none of that in there.
Right.
So it's a relief of stress. And many of you sent us your requests of sad songs. It doesn't seem like there's a limit to sad songs. So we want to shout out to Chris and Peter and Mary and Joseph and Ashmiel and Jose, who all sent us their ideas songs.
Thanks. We'll have to put
the
together a playlist.
Game. We missed that one last week. The crying game.
I think it was on our list and we just didn't play it.
Yeah. But anyway, we're recommending Cavatina. If you missed it last week, that Bach piano guitar bit that was at the end of the Deer Hunter movie as a real one. Or somebody even sent the Brian song, the theme from Brian's song.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that movie?
Yep.
The Brian
song. Yep.
Anyway, welcome back to Talk Back. And today we're talking about exits from relationships. And we're going to want your call because we're leading up to the fun drive which, as Reggie said, starts next week. And we're going to have an exciting monthly premium where you can bring somebody to WBAI, the big room there at WBAI, to talk with somebody you're having a hard time talking to.
Yeah.
And we're going to teach you during the fund drive the skills that you can bring to this fund drive at this meeting at WBAI to clear the air.
Yeah. And you're going to have an actual experience of sitting across from this person, maybe, or someone who can stand in front of
them. You can bring your daughter,
anybody.
You can bring your boyfriend.
And you're going to learn how to do this dialogue technique that is so healing and so good for everyone to learn.
And that's going to be a tax-deductible donation to WBAI.
Yes.
And we're hoping to get 60 people. So,
yeah,
this is going to be a nice, exciting event. And so we're going to talk about this today, about exiting relationships. Do you exit? Are there people that you are avoiding?
Well, what does that mean, exiting a relationship? I get a sense of it, but what are you saying?
It's like using the exit, you know, like, so when I'm sitting next to you and I don't like being with you, I pick up my cell phone.
Pull a parachute cord.
Pull a parachute.
Yeah.
Pull
or
an
egg. Jump, you know, jumping out of the plane, right?
Yeah.
You mean temporarily, right? You don't mean leaving the relationship entirely.
It's actually worse. It's like leaving without leaving, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So stepping away,
yeah,
in a sense.
In some way.
Mm-hmm. Checking out and temporarily.
Yeah. Totally.
I mean, how many of us have felt that frustration with our loved ones, our partners?
Mm-hmm.
Where you feel like you don't have their attention, they're kind of disengaged.
Totally.
Yeah.
It feels insulting.
Right.
It's hurtful.
Right.
I thought you said it's her fault.
it's hurtful.
It's very insulting. And they didn't have this kind of insult 20 years ago. Now it's an insult that people can feel daily.
Yeah.
Imagine parents who have their kids at dinner and the kids are on their cell phones. I know some parents have no cell phone zones.
Yes.
And like the dinner table would be one of them, but some parents don't. Some parents, like, it's okay, or when you go to a restaurant.
It can be the other way around. The kids are, like, there, and the parents are on the phone.
Right, that too. Right, so it starts
even more
hurtful. Yeah. So all of this is reversible, but it is what we call exiting relationships. I don't want to talk with mom and dad. I don't want to be at dinner with mom and dad. I don't want to be at dinner with my partner. So let me claim emergencies, or I have to take care of that. I have to take this call. I have to go outside and handle this. You know, whatever. That's an exit, Nisima. So,
okay. And do you see this happening a lot with clients that you see?
Totally. Of course. Yeah, they're all coming in. And even 20, 30, 40 years ago, the complaint in couples therapy has always been, my partner isn't talking to me. My partner is exiting. They didn't have that word exit, but my partner is not here.
Right.
So we wanted to tie this in today to social media, and we're going to take your calls at 212-757-5555. You know, in 2001, people said that they had an average of 10 close friends.
Mm-hmm.
10 close friends. I can remember 2001. I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
In 2018... people are reporting two close friends. Now,
and
what do you think caused that?
And like 500 Facebook friends.
Yes,
which
right.
Which are really close.
Right.
But
yeah. So, I have plenty of friends. I just never see them.
Yeah.
Right? And there's an exit, right?
There's
imagine if
exit.
You met all the people that are friends with you on Facebook.
Yeah.
You can have a meeting with them at WBAI in March when we'll be doing our Safe Conversations called.
Have throngs
and you'll get to actually talk to these friends that you have that you never really meet.
Yeah,
they should call it something else on Facebook. They shouldn't be calling it friends, right? They should be calling it what? What do you think, Ben? Make up something.
Acquaintances. I don't know.
Right.
I mean,
buds.
I'm struck by how you mentioned it in the difference of time. Right. Where not long ago, this wasn't even a way to feel lonely or excluded. But our society has shifted so dramatically because of the changes in the technology and what's available to people. And social media has played a leading role in that.
Yeah.
And when you and I were talking about this the other day, in leading up to this program, I thought about, when did that changeover happen? And so I started looking back, and I think the year we can pinpoint is actually 2007, because that's the year the iPhone came out, mm-hmm. which was the first smartphone.
Right.
Right.
So that's the year that people first had the internet sitting in their pocket. That's the year that Facebook opened up, right? Because mm-hmm. before that, you needed a .edu email address to be on Facebook.
Okay.
And then they opened it up to everyone. Yeah, that's like the last time Facebook was cool.
Right.
Right? And then all of a sudden, people's moms and grandparents started popping up on Facebook. Mm. I mean, and that's the year of that Twitter got big. I mean, that's the year that a ton of different
social media networks
popped up. So 2007. So
right. Like and I, you bring up, people, I'm thinking like exits have become more and more sophisticated, you know, than 2007 because people can hide their phone. Now you can have your phone on your wrist, right? And you can actually be on your date with somebody reaching for the spinach. And you're actually reading your messages.
And you know the person who's there knows that's happening. Right. You can imagine that they don't, but you know they know.
You know,
and
it's
dawning
on me, one of the good things about this, I think, is that people are getting a heightened sense of when they're being insulted. You know, it's a blatant insult to be out to dinner with somebody and they're checking their messages and their emails and all that.
Yeah.
But I think that's carrying over. Like, people are being aware when they're being insulted more.
Yeah.
And so they're keener to it. So there's almost like an emerging sense of propriety and ways to behave in different settings, not just at the dinner table or out with somebody. That is emerging. I think that blast of insult, because it's a real dig of an insult. It's such a cutting insult. Imagine on your first date, somebody's picking up their phone.
But see, I think it's only for those of us who are not what you might call a digital native. That is to say, I'm in my early 30s. And
what are you saying? You don't think I'm a digital native?
No, I'm not either. I'm not either.
Oh, okay.
Right? I'm in my early 30s, and so the wave of people who really grew up inside of tech came just a few short years after me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So people like in the late 20s and younger, I would say, from my perspective.
Okay.
And those are people who always grew up within the context of the internet and cell phones, and they never ever had a time where they didn't have access to the internet. We're talking about people, in urban areas of developed countries. And so these are what we call digital natives, and I think for a lot of those younger people, they might not feel that it's insulting. They might be so accustomed to the culture of smartphones and social media that it's
no longer an insult.
But that's always the job of the elders, to be teaching these natives, you want to call it, that says, you might not know that this is like improper or an insult or something, but we do. I do. So we're the ones who are going to teach you out of your ignorance, draw you out of your ignorance into the light. Like, put your cell phone down. Put your iPad away. Put this away. And kids are now, on average, been 4 hours a day in front of a screen, whether it's a TV screen, but mostly YouTube. YouTube is replacing television for kids.
It's amazing.
And their cell phones. I found this wild. 83% of 15-year-olds own a cell phone.
Yeah.
83%.
In the U.S. or in the sort of...
I would imagine in the U.S. I thought that was...
That's huge.
So we're going to be talking about exits. How has social media, has this affected your primary relationship? Or has it affected your relationship with your kids? Has your kids' use affected you? This is all going to be leading up to next week's show. But how is social media affecting you in your world? And what do you think should be done about it? Because we have solutions, right? We can have ideas. But everybody is when you get this insult, you want to handle it. You know, it can be so enraging. Everybody has their own way of handling it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of like tying together what both of you were saying. It's like there is an insult for people who don't realize, that know how it is to be in contact with others eye to eye, face to face.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of a lack of insult for the ones that don't really know about that. Mm. And I'm going to be curious about the ones who don't get that consistent eye-to-eye, face-to-face contact, like what starts happening with them. And I know there's a study that said, you know, like there's a big increase in like panic attacks and stuff like that for these young people. And I think that's probably part of it. Like, they don't realize the need of our body and our mind and our soul to be contacted face to face with someone.
Right.
Like, how important that is. And I think they don't realize it until it's really gone over the edge sometimes.
And that's what we said in the texting show. We said that the cure of this is to sit opposite the person who needs these exits, needs these escapes, needs their social media at all times, to have practice with eye contact, practice facing somebody who's going to listen to them. We're going to demonstrate that later and talk more about exits. We're looking for your calls, 212-757-5555.
And maybe even giving them the opportunity to be uncomfortable with not knowing what to say and having to like search a little bit deeper inside themselves to say what they feel.
Right.
Because I think we're losing our capacity to express ourselves.
Yeah.
From our hearts, from our souls, and from our hearts.
I think, but it's so native to us. We talked about these phrases from Harville Hendrix, who was on 3 weeks ago, about, can you say more about that? Imagine if you were sitting opposite your parent, and you know they're upset with you and your social media, and they wanted to have a conversation with you about it, right? Imagine,
yeah.
Or whatever.
I'm sure many of those conversations
happen.
They're
concerned about you being doing not too well in school or something, and you're facing your parent, and the parent, you're telling them what your struggle is, and they're saying, can you say more about that?
Mm-hmm. Like, wow, mom
I'm
really wants to
I'm inviting my child
know
to say more about this.
And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to listen.
What do you get out of your social media?
I mean, I think as kids get a lot of
why don't you be the child right now? What do you get out of it?
I feel like I can, you know, I'm popular. I post things that people like, and I feel really popular. I get lots of likes.
So you feel popular, and you get lots of likes, and you like getting a bunch of likes. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, it just makes me feel good about myself.
It makes you feel good about yourself. Can you say more about that?
If I'm a teenager, I'm like, no.
Fair enough. We know
that's about how deep a teen's gonna go.
Right, but no, you'd be surprised, Nassima. Actually, it's really not.
Yeah,
they're absolutely astounded that they're being invited by their adult peer caretaker to be invited to say more about something. So they might, but that's just nerves.
Right.
And so when we're running this workshop, and we'll be doing it in March, and talking about it during the fun drive, we coach the teenager through that to the parents.
And the parent.
So, yeah, we coach them both because you want to say as much as you can on this. Are you one of the people that only has two close friends? For instance, a parent could say to the child, I want to talk to you about my concern that you don't have many friends. Are you available to talk to me about that?
Right. Yes, sure.
Okay. And then then the parent can present their point of view, their disappointment, you know, their sadness for the child, and they can get to the bottom of it. But it's not like three exchanges; it goes on for 20 minutes, kind of thing. 212-757-5555. How is social media affecting your relationship? Is your partner one of your close relationships? It's a funny thing to say, but you know, a lot of people when they think of my best friends or those two friends that people have right now. They're not including their partner. They're saying, well, I thought you meant my real friends. My partner is somebody who's, I have a very special relationship with my partner. So I wouldn't qualify it as friend, even though, they're a friend. But they're not one of the two I think of when I think of my close friends. Or do they? So we're going to be teaching you this method that Harville Hendrix taught us. And again, his book is Getting the Love You Want. We're going to tell you how to get that book also at the end of today's show. That will be part of the fun drive next week. But you can get it today, well, by the end of the week, because we mail it out immediately. Mm-hmm. And everybody who bought a copy 2 weeks ago and a few last week have already received it. So Getting the Love You Want will be on sale at the end of today's show. I'll give you that number then. But we're going to demonstrate this conversation that he taught around exits. 212-757-5555. How has social media affected you? Go ahead.
We are going to be taking your calls, and thanks for saying the number again. I was just going to remind you to do that. Yeah. But we're taking your calls, and we want to hear from you. For those of you who are dealing with these issues, who are dealing with these issues in the context of your relationship, with your loved one, with your partner, with friends, maybe in the workplace, with your children, whatever the case may be. Again, that number, 212-757-5555. And a lot more interesting research and information to be sharing with you all. So I just want to thank those of you who are calling in now and those of you on hold. And we're going to go ahead and take a call right now. Is this Thomasina?
Hi. Yes.
Hi, Thomasina. Thanks for calling in.
Hi there. Sorry, I'm calling again.
That's all right. We like your call, so keep them coming.
Well, I have a story about my 21-year-old who's away at college. Yeah. And he recently we had this conversation. I call him a lot. I don't really like texting. For me, it just serves the purpose of, like, you know, I'm here on the corner, whatever.
Right.
So if I want to talk to my son who's at college, I want to talk to him. So
he, does he know that?
Every time. Well, what happened was every time he would answer the phone, I could tell he was annoyed, and he would say, "What's up?"
Yeah.
That's how he would answer the phone. So I had a talk with him, and I said, listen, when I call you, I don't want to hear what's up. I want you to greet me, say, hello, Mom, how are you? And he's
good.
Like, well, I don't understand why you call. I said, because I need to hear your voice. Mm-hmm. I said, talking to you on the phone and hearing your voice really tells me a lot about how you're doing. And I said, and I'm going to keep calling, and I expect you to be respectful and answer the phone properly and say hello and greet me. And
but that's all about your needs,
it.
Mom.
Well, it's about
I know
also,
21-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I also need him to realize that I am not, like, one of his friends. You know, I'm not going to be another text. And, you know, I need to check in on him and hearing his tone of voice.
So how about you tell him I'm concerned about you. I love you. I want to connect with
well,
you.
Well, yeah, then we got it. That's why I got into that conversation with him, because I said, I'm calling for a reason. Because I care about you. And so he has accepted it.
Tom,
and now when I call him, he's just accepted it, and he's cordial, and, you know, we
cordial.
Have a great
that's,
conversation.
That's the key. But I'm going to predict, Thomasina, it's not going to last. What will last is him knowing what he means to you. Right now he knows that you want to feel like he's safe, that he's okay, that you want to be reassured and all this, but it's not bringing you any closer together and understanding his world. So I don't think it's going to last. What I'm going to recommend is you guys come to the Safe Conversations in March. Where does he go to school?
Actually, yeah, I think he'll be off in March.
So
he goes to Salve in Rhode Island.
It's worth the trip. I'm telling you, you'll get the tools that you'll be able to take with and use with this child of yours forever, because you're really skirting the issue. You're skirting your heart. You're basically skirting his heart. You're not connecting from the heart. And you really want to say, I miss you, or I want to hear your voice because it comforts me, and I feel at ease when I know you're at ease. And all
well,
of these.
Well, guess what? I want to hear his voice because I want to make sure he's not drunk all the time.
Yeah, right. Well,
you get what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes. I got you, Thomasina. We got many calls. We want to get
to
them.
Take care.
But we want to hear from you. I would love to see you come and listen to next week's show. It's only going to be like $150 for two people. So
definitely. I'll look into that.
All right. And you're going to get a book also if you come. So thanks for calling.
Okay, great.
212-757-5555. She totally demonstrates exactly the value of what we're going to be bringing during the fund drive and what Harville Hendrix has brought to us and to people.
Yeah.
212-757-5555. You want to go when you're – people are taking exits, Nasima, from each other because they're not connecting from the heart, and they don't know how to.
They don't know how to. They've forgotten. They don't realize the value of it. It has huge value.
Yeah.
To every part of you, to hear your mom's voice, to hear your mom's concern, for your mom to hear your voice and say, you know, because there's so much that's communicated through the spoken word, through the voice, that just is not communicated through text or, you know, pictures.
Even the telephone.
Yeah.
It's not communicated. One thing that really helps is eye contact. Go ahead.
We're taking your calls at 212-757-5555. We have Marco on the line. Hi, Marco.
Hello.
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 Hey. There he is. How are
Hi.
You?
Good. I just went to turn off the radio because it's interesting what you said about the insults. You know, I am on your side of the digital divide. I'm not a native. And well, I understand perfectly what you're saying, and I never do such things as you described. I'm also wondering, because I am, I always put myself on trial, so to say, meaning that, you know, I think about the things that my elders used to tell me about behaviors that seem perfectly fine to me, and were just a matter of evolution of social interaction. So while I find, you know, unforgivable, and my girlfriend, who's only a few years younger than me, does this constantly. She's always on her phone with the excuse of work. And it bothers me. But I have sort of accepted a certain part. You know, it's not pathological. She does it a few times when she's expecting messages from her boss and things like that.
Yeah. So you have an arrangement, you have an agreement that when it's the boss, that okay, but there are times when I just want total us, no phone at all. Do you have that?
And she understands that, yes, absolutely. She's not so dependent that she will insert the phone in our quality time. Like
Great.
That.
Perfect. Perfect. So have you ever felt, besides with her, insulted by somebody being absorbed in their social media and not giving you their attention?
Constantly. I mean, as soon as I go down the street, you know, I sometimes ride a bicycle and I do an educational thing when I see somebody that is walking against the light and absolutely absorbing their device, I go very close to them to just wake them up.
That's you!
Yes.
Oh, so that's who it was.
Yes, exactly, yes. You know, I'm sure that there is a few others like me, know. I don't do it in an aggressive way, but I go close enough that they might even actually look up and say, oh, my God, what happened?
Marco, how many friends have you got, close friends?
Well, I'd say they're you know, divided amongst different continents, but I'd say there are about a dozen really close friends.
Good for you.
So, he's not absorbed. He hasn't caught the fever.
Right.
Oh, no. And believe me, you know, I'm very conversant with digital technologies. I refuse to be on any social network.
Okay.
I insist on my computer for communications. In fact, I just blocked my brother on WhatsApp because I told him, you know, when you send me things that are important because we look after our elderly father.
Yeah.
I want the documents on my desktop. I don't want to see them on,
okay.
I don't have a phone that does that. I have a tablet. I have a complicated arrangement.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I need to see them, you know, when I can see them, not just, you know, be on call for your digital diatribes and
Thanks, Marco. Thanks for calling. Keep calling.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Marco. 212-757-5555. It's interesting that he mentioned having learned certain behaviors from his elders. And I think about so many of us were taught to always make eye contact, right? Respect your elders, you know, look someone in the eye, shake their hand, and sit up straight.
Right.
Just, I think, as a sign of respect and deference, I think. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you see how many, if you're out in public, how many parents are so overwhelmed that, you know, they know the one thing that'll work is if they put a tablet into the kid's hands.
Right.
Right.
And that'll absorb the kid's attention.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as a result, I think there's a lot that's lost, which those of us, and that on this side, as he said, of the digital divide, things that were kind of inculcated into us.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I hate the words, what's up.
It's kind of...
You know,
derogatory
what's
in
up?
A way.
You know, when you call somebody, it's kind of
way.
It's not a nice invite. Can you say more? I'd love people to pick up their phone and say, "Can you say more?" Anyway, he does bring up some point. I was thinking, oh, siblings, right? How many siblings do? How many people block their siblings? You know, how many? So we're talking about the fund drive next week that's going to be coming and offering to WBAI this technique of ways to bridge the divide to really connect. Imagine looking at your sibling eye to eye. That's part of the instruction.
Yeah.
And it's all good. And now you have to soften your eye contact with your sibling. This is the beginning. This is the first minute.
And say something maybe you appreciate
that's
about
part
your
of
sibling.
It too. Yep. Go ahead.
We have time for one more caller before the musical break. We have Steph on the line. Hi, Steph. We have 1 minute till our break. Can you tell us what's going on?
Well, my husband and I have made such a concerted effort to get the cell phones out of our children's hands when they come in the home. We say, this is our most important time. It's family time. Mm-hmm. We sit at the table every night when we can, and we converse. And
great.
We have seen such a change in our family, in our children. My oldest son just recently came on vacation with us, and he said, Mom, you know, there's just such a bond of talking and connection between us.
Fantastic.
And I really feel these devices have stolen critical time of fathers and mothers engaging with their children.
Wonderful.
And I urge parents to try to come to a place where you just speak with each other.
How old's your son?
My oldest son is 26, and I have a 14-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son.
Outstanding.
So
outstanding.
Great job, Steph.
Hey, if you want to bring one to this dialogue, you can bring it to show it to the whole family just through bringing one of them by making that icon. So you make it worth their while to actually talk to you, Steph.
Well, I make them know that we love them and are their champions on this planet, and we are rooting for them, and we will never block them, and we will never write a nasty post about them. We love them with our whole heart, and we try to express that to them.
Thanks, Steph. Thanks for calling. We have
Fantastic.
Lots of people chiming in today. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Imagine a mother blocking their son. Or daughter. 212-757-5555. We're going to take our musical break. Ben.
And we'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
sounds of Daft Punk here on the Positive Mind, 99.5 FM, WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue and Nasima Diane Deemer as we're talking to you today about social media, smartphones, all kinds of electronic devices, and the effects that they've had on your relationships, on your friendships, on your children, whatever the case may be. We want to hear from you. The number to call, 212-757-5555. Again, that's 212-757-5555 as we talk about the effect of smartphones and social media on our relationships, on our communication, on our society at large, and your family. Thank you to those of you who have called. We're going to be taking more of your calls. Right now we have Veronica on the line. Hi, Veronica. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So I'm listening to your program, and I agree 100%. So at our family table, there's no phone. Now, when my husband and I go out to dinner, we're normally having a conversation, and it doesn't, you know, it's not about, you know, we know to put the phones away. But what I'm finding is that the conversations that we have require a phone. So, for example, if we're talking about maybe an upcoming vacation, we look at the phone to look at dates. If we wanted to research places, if we're talking about the current events and the news, what's going on, and we want to quickly fact check something, if we want to call the babysitter and check in. So funny enough, you know, even with the no phones policy, I find that even in the midst of a conversation, the phone, because it's so accessible and so diverse, we use it for so many different things.
Does it ever frustrate you? Like, does it derail the conversation? You're in the middle of talking about a vacation, and then you Google the vacation site.
But I wouldn't grab the phone unless we needed it. So it almost perpetuates our conversation because we can't really decide on a date, for example, unless he has to look at his phone when he's working. I don't need to look at my phone, see when the kids are off. And the way I feel is if the conversation is deep and serious, I don't think anybody's pulling out a phone. So I feel as if the conversation is usually a lighter one that's not very serious,
right,
if that makes sense.
It does make sense, sure.
It makes sense, and it almost sounds like if you're being clear about, you know, this is a date for us to be romantic or and connect, or this is a time at dinner when we're going to discuss this vacation. You know, being clear in that way, because you know, it's like if I'm going out with someone and I want to, you know, talk about a vacation, I might just want to talk about the vacation and like everything that might mean to me and hear what my partner would, you know, like to do. And then maybe we schedule it all at a later date, but just know that, you know, what our intentions are about the vacations rather than, you know, all the details, which is kind of mundane. So, you know, it's like just knowing, like, you know, it's like, because I could be a miscommunication if I'm going out on a romantic dinner and suddenly I'm looking at the phone deciding on it, you know, on a vacation,
a lot of
not really connecting.
Wait, right? When romance is in the air, you don't want to disturb that with
research
about your next vacation or the weather outside.
It's more fun to talk about, like, the last vacation and how great it was and what you want to do this time, you know?
So I
think it's also if it's one-sided. So if I'm reminiscing and he's pulling out his phone, then that's an issue. But if we're both talking about something and we're like, when was that? Or we want to look at a picture. But maybe it's also depending on the conversation and also the type of, you know, outing.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree with what you guys are saying. And thank you for allowing me to speak my mind.
Thank you, Veronica. You bet. I just was going to say one last thing is that how or when, well, we all avoid our relationships. We all avoid going deeper, let's say. We like it kind of on the surface, and going deeper can be scary. So it sounds like you're able to do that with your partner.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a deep conversation, we're not pulling out our phones. I mean, unless data or studies show that people are doing that, to me, that it doesn't sound like a reasonable or a rational thing to do. If somebody's pouring out their feelings, professing their love, talking about I'm crying over this or you make me feel this way, I really can't see somebody now taking out their phone to check their email.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I think it happens. I think it happens especially when there's maybe an uncomfortable pause
you know, like you kind of come to the end of your conversation and you don't quite know how to get over that. And then that's when people often whip out their phones and start, you know, showing photos or doing something, some sort of entertainment. Yeah. Like we must be entertained all the time somehow.
So listen to us during February because we're going to be talking a lot about this and offering BAI listeners a chance to bring their partners, their children, their siblings to come and get over that awkward pause time that they're learning to fill with their phones and their social media. So, Veronica, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Stay warm.
You too.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, definitely stay warm. It's going to get cold out there
tonight. 212-757-5555. Let's do a little bit. So I want to talk to you about how I avoid our relationship. Do you have time?
Sure, I have time right now.
So I'm finding that I'm avoiding eye contact with you a lot, and I don't know why, but I notice that I'm doing that.
So you're noticing that you're avoiding eye contact with me a lot, and you're not quite sure why you do that. Can you say more about that?
And I'm noticing, I'm noticing that I'm also reaching to run out of the house faster, or for my cell phone, and I don't know why.
So you're finding that you're reaching and trying to get out of the house faster, and you're reaching for your cell phone more often, and you're not sure why. Can you say more?
Yeah, it's almost like there's this third thing between us, and it's a secret. You don't know it, but I know it, that there's this third thing, and I somehow keep avoiding you and avoiding me talking about what's going on.
So you feel like there's this third thing between us, and you keep you're aware that you're somehow avoiding saying what that is, and you know, and what that might mean about us.
Right.
Did I get that?
Yes.
Can you say more?
Yeah. So this fear has popped up when I think of actually making eye contact with you or talking about my fears in general, and my fear that you're not really that interested in me. Maybe that's okay, so I'll just say that much. Maybe that you're not that interested in me.
So there's a fear that comes up when you think about making eye contact, and it seems to be related to being concerned or worried that I'm not that interested in you. Did I get that? Can you say more?
Yes. Right. I didn't know it until I started talking to you that I'm afraid that I'm not that interesting to you, and that I'm pick up my cell phone or I go on the internet or I go out to the, you know, bar or the club, you know, I go out to play sports, or I'm talking to my friends more than you because I'm afraid I'm just not that interesting to you.
So You're really realizing and just sort of talking about this now that when you're going out and hanging out with your friends or, you know, doing other things, that it really does sort of come down to this fear that I'm not really, that you're not that interesting to me.
Yeah.
Can you say more?
Yes, and I would, but I think we should stop for now.
Yes.
But so, you know, there it was. I didn't know until we started that it was a fear that I'm not that interesting to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really making me avoid eye contact with you and making me pick up my cell phone and making me, we have another call. But anyway, afterwards, I want to see you can demonstrate how to summarize everything I said. But let's take this call from Taylor. Hey, Taylor.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a new listener to the show.
Oh, terrific.
Thank you. And I was actually just wanted to get your opinion on what you thought about, you know, parenting with the cell phone. I have two small children, and I have a coworker who decided to give her daughters cell phones at under the age of 6.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a bit much. You know, she was at work, and her daughter, who was 5, was giving her a call. And I thought that was a little bit too soon to introduce, you know, technology at that level.
Yeah.
And,
statistically,
I disagree with it, you know, but I wanted your opinion
What does your friend say are the reasons?
Well, she just said she wanted to distract her children. She felt like they kept trying to take her phone. And I felt like, you know, that was just wrong. You know, why are we introducing phones to children at that age? I don't think it's appropriate, whether it's just, you know, media-wise or watching TV or some sort of young program. I think we're embedding them with that phone early.
Yes, and I think you're right. And statistically, only like 10% of people under 8 have a cell phone or are given a cell phone by their parents. But so you bring up an important thing about, so the mother's reason is because she wants the children to be occupied and she doesn't want them occupied around her. She wants them to be occupied away from her.
Right. She also indicated that her husband felt like they should be able to reach her should they had a question or something they wanted to do to get to mom early.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I felt like that's just a bit much. You know, you don't want to give a 6-year-old
well,
or a 4-year-old
a lot of single parents and a lot of parents are doing that with their elementary school kids. And I'm not so sure it's a bad thing or a good thing. I don't know. I guess one of the things is, what do you think the kid is missing out on by having this cell phone?
You know, I just think that there should be more at home, you know, dealings as opposed to on the phone with mom while she's working or calling, and you're a young person, you know, very, very young age, 5 or 6, there's not much going on.
Yeah.
So I just felt like, you know, I'd rather wait till I get home to hear what TV programs they looked at or what letters they learned today. You know, I don't want to necessarily
have my calling
me.
Yeah. That may, right. So there's a theory in psychology about attachment theory, about how do I create and raise children that can separate from me, that they're not attached to me when they're 15 and 20 and 25, that you want to teach them to be able to be separate individuals away from you.
There might be a
And if they have access to you all the time and they're not learning this way of being out of sight of mommy and daddy and learning how to handle it on their own, there's a threat that they could be overly attached later on in life. So I think your instincts are probably talking to that you think that when the child's away from the parents that they should be absorbed in whatever children at that age are doing and should be doing, not updating, I'm watching Bugs Bunny right now.
Right. Well, when you go back in time to, you know, I'm in my, you know, late 40s, and we were fine. You know, if you go back in time, young children were fine. You know, they didn't get a hold of mom 24/7 or dad 24/7.
Right.
They dealt with their situations, you know, as they came. You know, it wasn't this reach out to mom at, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the phone.
Right.
We all did okay, and you know, nothing happened. The house didn't burn down.
So you worry about the 6-year-old's independence.
Well, I'm just worried that are we introducing, you know, technology to them early at the age of 5? Is that good? I mean, I have 2 boys.
Yeah.
They're 9 months. Wow. I don't believe I should do that. I don't think I'm going to go that route. I
totally support that. I totally get what you're saying. And
you'll probably have a fight.
There's
on
no
your
absolute
hands.
About it. You know, some parents want to stay themselves in touch with the child. So we're going to talk more about it next week because we're going to give you the stats on what age groups have cell phones and what kind of damage it does. They are saying, I'll just say this, access to social media for you, the younger the brain, the more anxiety and depression are potentials for those. So you might be onto something. We'll tell you more about that next week.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking my call.
You bet, Taylor.
Thanks for
calling.
Okay, have a good day.
You
bye
too.
Bye.
212-757-5555.
I think there's going to be a new kind of attachment style, which is digital attachment. I mean, it sounds like, you know, and like parents are tracking where their kids are all the time. They're tracking where their partners are all the time. Mm. It's a different world.
Well, it becomes... I don't think so. I mean, it could be an obstacle to, like I said, to good attachment, but I think this attachment theory extends and has extended through history, and it's only going to be you have either good attachment or secure attachment or an insecure attachment.
Mm.
And so digital attachment might take away a secure attachment.
Yeah.
It might be a sign of an insecure attachment. So, but we could talk more about that, but there is no getting over the fact that young exposure to cell phones and digital screens and social media are susceptible more to depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
We have Maria on the line.
Hello.
Hey, Maria.
Marie Antoinette.
Hi, Marie Antoinette.
Hello. I just want to ask you a question. When you have a good time with the... Oh, sorry, that's my bird. When you have a good time with the men, and you're sitting at the dinner, or you are at the concert, just before the concert, the person takes the phone and checks his messages, and how you should behave.
Mm. Smack the phone out of his hand.
No.
Marie, that's what bothers you about that, Marie?
Doesn't bother me anything. I am a very patient person,
yes.
And I don't get angry, but it's something I think in my head that shouldn't be done.
Yeah, so there might be a hurt.
You know, especially a couple times, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe it's not necessary. It's not a doctor. It's nothing very important.
Right. Again, I think
mm-hmm.
it's like I think it's pointing to that thing of we don't know what to do with those quiet moments anymore. Now we have this thing in our hand that's going to solve that problem of feeling awkward, quiet, not knowing what to say next, just being in the moment, and you can just pop
absolutely,
onto your phone. Do something else.
Yes, should you say something
yes,
to that person?
Yes, you should.
Yeah,
you know, why don't you just put your hand on his shoulder and say, I'd rather you not pick up your phone.
No.
Yeah.
But it's not my boyfriend, you know, it's just friends.
Oh, okay.
Well, but I love him anyway.
We'll touch them on the hand then instead and just say, you know, I like our time together. I like our time together without.
Or involved in conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Involved in conversation. Just.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Maria. Hey.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I wish you well. I
we
love
wish you
people.
Well. Thank you.
Love you
thank
too.
Thank you.
Tune in next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 212-757-5555. Wow.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And we just, I think we don't even realize that we're doing it. It's become so
mm-hmm.
second nature. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I know that I have to really watch myself. Mm. When I'm just sitting, even here doing the show, I have such a desire to check my phone.
People check their
it
phone on average 150 times a day. On
it's
average.
I'm
unbelievable.
Sure,
1.8
sure
billion photos are billion photos are up posted a day.
That's crazy.
So
it's
what
crazy.
Is there has
oh,
been?
There's the chime.
And we all, like, jolted alert.
Yeah,
like,
we're like,
wow,
wait,
is that my phone?
Was that me? Was that me? Does
we
somebody
have time for,
me?
I think we have time for, like, one more call.
All right, one more.
We
okay.
have Rich on the line. Hi, Rich. Thanks
hey,
for calling
Rich.
In.
Hi, how are you guys? I've been listening to your conversation.
Yeah.
And I wanted to add that my 32-year-old son, who happens to be a musician, has said to me in the past, in the last couple of years, actually, instead of a number of times, that social media and iPhones and such are actually changing what it means to be human. I haven't heard anybody say anything like that.
I agree with him, Rich.
Yep.
I strongly agree with him, actually. I think it's changing our brain chemistry. It's mm-hmm. changing the way we think about communication. It's changing the dynamic of communication between people.
Yep.
And that's something that I fully agree with, and I think we're going to see that even further. Kevin mentioned earlier how the screen's now on people's wrist because there's now smart watches. And
yeah.
I think within our lifetimes, in the next few years, people will be getting implants where you don't even need a screen. You're going to be thinking, and you'll have an overlay inside your brain. It sounds like sci-fi, but we're heading there. I mean, scientists can already beam audio into your brain with lasers. So we're getting there.
Does your son think that's a good thing?
No, he does not.
He doesn't, right.
You know, we're a family of writers and musicians, and so some English teachers. So communicating and using words and being creative, that's who we are. And I'm an older guy, okay? I'm 72 years old, so I'm from a whole different world. Mm. And I think that it's more than just what this your previous person just said about the new the frightening new things that are happening. It's about what you were saying earlier about looking into someone's eyes and communicating in person and having actually something to say.
Yeah.
And where it comes from inside of us. So I think what's happening is that things are becoming much more superficial.
Yeah.
Right. And that need of humanity to feel connected, it's a biological need.
And we're going to run into a lot of trouble if we're not able to find that communication, that safety, that ability to connect in a human way. It's still going to be a biological need. It's going to take a while for our biology to, like, catch up with that.
A world where we don't need
to connect. I think it's already happening. I think, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut anybody off. But I think what the woman just said is already happening now. I think we can see the results in our politics. Mm-hmm. I think we can see the results in so many areas of our current lives where, you know, especially Americans who are, where all of the power and technology is very, very intense.
I think
we are losing a certain aspect of our humanity, which is absolutely essential.
Rich, we're going to leave it there because we've got to stop. But you can call us next week. I'm going to think a lot about this. I can only tell you that we had a guest on 3 weeks ago, Harville Hendricks. And he talks about the world getting smaller, and that's a good thing. The world is getting smaller, and so we're going to have to find and create a world where we can connect across divides, and that can actually bring humanity closer together. It's an idea that I'll bring more to you next week when we talk about safe conversations and what we're doing for the fund drive. But thanks for the call. All right. Thanks, Rich.
And tune in next week. We'll be back here on The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI, 4 p.m., same time, same place. Thanks again.